Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Hoffman with Project Zion podcast. And today I am thrilled to be interviewing one of my students who's been engaged in Inspire, the missional ministry and leadership practicum here at Graceland University, and a student who has just graduated in the class of 2020, despite COVID-19 and really no formal celebration. She's here with me to sort of help put an end to her year and to share some things with me about it. So Lori Dew, welcome to Project Zion podcast today.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, very good. Glad to have you here with us. So Lori, you know, I've known you for 4 years. I really appreciate the opportunity to get to know you and to work with you. Lori is a major in psychology, and she minored in religion. And we were talking about this. She may be the last truly religion minor. We're not sure that while she enrolled in the program, it sort of changed on her and became religion and philosophy. But I think Lori, didn't you take all religion classes basically to complete the minor? So I know you did. Have you thought about where your interest in religion comes from? I mean, it's obviously come from somewhere because you're intensely, and we'll cover this more, but where did it come from?
So part of it, okay, it stems from the same place that my interest in psychology and physics comes from, because there is an underlying pattern to the way the world works, the way that people work, the way that the physics of existence works, all of that. There's this pattern. And I found something so similar in religion that even if what you're studying, whether or not you believe it's like a one true kind of deal, the way that people approach religion and seeking out the best way to exist as individuals and as a community, there's this natural human way to approach it. And it's so fascinating to me.
Great. That makes sense. I mean, I do. I it's taken me a while to figure out the patterns in life, but I do understand that from that. I think it's great that as a young adult, you've caught on and seen those things. So, yeah, I'm still discovering things like that. So you're from Ohio originally. What's your favorite place in Ohio? Did you have a place? I mean, when I think of Ohio, all I think about is Cedar Point. So
that's fair.
Maybe I should say the Kirtland Temple, but you know, that's the other
thing. No, that's okay. I'm with you on the Cedar Point thing. I lived in Ohio in a lot of places, and I was never a fan of it. It was never home to me. I was born in Oklahoma and we moved to Ohio when I was young, and it just never felt right. And so the one place that I really liked was the library. There was one specific library.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Now, that's interesting, because one of the things that I have grown to appreciate about you is your push for things, despite the fact that you're legally blind. And when did you become legally blind? At what age?
I was declared legally blind at the age of 4, but they're not actually sure when it set in. It's believed that I've been legally blind since birth.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, the first year or so that I knew you here at Graceland, I didn't even notice that about you, because you seemed so incredibly able to do things. I mean, you know, and just that experience at Graceland in terms of knowing you, we were talking about how, you know, we first met. I remember you, sort of a fond memory of you hanging out in the campus ministry's office, which is the student office, which is directly across the hall from my office. And I remember the thing about you is how passionate you are, and that may be putting it into positive terms, but you would get so passionate and sometimes so irritated at something. I remember I used to come across the hall and I'd say, oh, please, please watch your language, you know, that kind of thing. And I was always paranoid. I mean, and you know, you started here 4 years ago, and that would have been my second year as campus minister. So, you know, I wasn't quite used to that kind of language coming out of that office. But, you know, where do you get your drive? Where do you get your passion? I mean, do you know?
So when I was, it comes from a few different places. When I was growing up, I was raised to treat people the way I wanted to be treated. And when you're blind, you realize that a lot of people who are suffering in different ways are not being treated the way that you, as someone who are suffering, would like to be treated. There are people that are just physically assaulted, verbally abused by family members and community members for absolutely no reason. And I get that. And so when it comes into other topics, it doesn't even have to be related to the community aspect. When I feel like there is something that is wrong that needs to be discussed, even if it doesn't seem like a main point, I am fine drawing attention to that. I am fine looking a little crass and like I'm a little out there because it makes you look at it. Yeah, I'm okay with being that person you're a little uncomfortable with because it means you're looking at that thing that isn't getting attention.
And you know what, that is something I know about you, because how I would probably oversimplify it, but you have this strong sense of social justice. I mean, you know, if maybe that's not the words you would use, but you know, you really express that, I think, in many ways. And, you know, that whole element of, I don't know, when I think about organized religion, I think about that and those kinds of things. So before we get into too much religion and theology, which I really want to have a discussion with you about that to some degree too. So you finished your 4 years here at Graceland. So how has the Graceland experience been for you overall?
You know? It's been a trip, man. It was absolutely nothing like I expected, I don't know if I had any expectations to begin with, which is kind of hilarious. I didn't go to the orientations. I didn't go to spec. My first time stepping on campus was the day I moved in.
Wow.
Despite growing up in Community of Christ, I had no experience. So when I went in, pun intended, I went in totally blind.
Yeah, because I didn't realize you hadn't gone to Spectacular. So yeah, so that would make somewhat of an impact. That would have been your first time on campus then. First time in Lamoni. So
yeah. So when I got there, the first thing that floored me, and this has stuck with me through all of my time at Graceland, was that sure, the community can be a little preppy sometimes. And that's what happens when you have house life, because everybody gets all excited about this one thing and it can get a little clicky. That happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really defines Graceland is the fact that there exist so many people who are totally okay with whatever it is you're going through and just want to make your time a little easier. When mm-hmm. I first set foot on campus, I met my house president. I have no idea how to say her last name, but she was Jess. She was Australian, is Australian. She's super awesome.
Yeah.
She,
I think it's Jess Hepatitis, I think is the way you say it. So
I believe you. she introduced herself and I said, it's really nice to meet you. And I'm so sorry, but I'm legally blind. I'm going to have no idea who you are in 5 minutes. And she goes, okay, cool. Meet me down at the end of the hall in 10 minutes. I'm going to take you to disability services.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't even know disability services was a thing. I had no idea. When I went into Graceland, I went in fully prepared to take care of myself. I was not prepared for the level at which the community was ready to dedicate itself to providing assistance.
Yeah. What house were you on?
I was on Shalom. I love Shalom.
On Shalom, yeah. So you're a Shalomi then. Just a shout out to anybody listening to us that might be from Shalom. We probably ought to honor that. So very good.
We my freshman year, all of the freshmen got free T-shirts that say Shalom is home, and it's one of my favorite T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that there's certainly in residence life as well as Graceland altogether, there's really a push to try to make students feel at home while they're at Graceland. And of course, that can be a good experience for some students who've had a good home experience, but that phrase can be challenging for students who've had less than a great experience at home. So, but it sounds like Jess sort of made you feel at home right from the beginning then. So
she really did. When I was telling my friends about it, I told them that Graceland was my Hogwarts.
Ah, yes.
That was, houses and all. But I told them, when I got to Graceland, I felt like I was supposed to be there. And like, it was the place that wanted me to be whatever it is I'm supposed to be.
That's great. That is really great. I mean, you know, it's one thing for me being assigned here a few years ago and working here. That's for me, that's what it ought to be like. And I'm so appreciate talking to you about this story, because it's like, I don't know, it's just it's an incredible place, I think. And I didn't go here as an undergrad, so it's been a learning experience for me. So Lori, can you speak more about the Graceland community? Was there, over the course of the 4 years, how would you describe the Graceland community in greater detail?
Very weird.
I wasn't expecting that. So
Graceland is a strange place because it follows a lot of general things. Like I said, it can be a little clicky, like everywhere is. You've got your athletic people, your volleyball guys.
Right.
You've got some people think that campus ministries can even be clicky sometimes.
I've heard that. Yeah.
But the thing about the community is that it is so ready to shift at any given time.
And how do you see that? How do you mean that?
So I think one of the best examples I can think of was Tamil Hill, Tam.
Yes.
Tam was she was one of the best examples of the capacity of the Graceland community, because so when she was the GSG president, she implemented all of these changes. And even if she didn't get to see them through to the end, she was so ready to start it and so ready to put herself through whatever was necessary to make the changes that Graceland deserved. Yeah. And the students, even if they're not going to be part of some big change, you can see shifts in behaviors towards, like, when all of the DACA stuff happened, most of the students got really pissed off about what this meant for potential international students.
Yes, right.
Even if it didn't affect them. And this was clearly something they had never thought about before, but it was almost instant.
Damn. You're talking about Tam Hill, who was Graceland Student Government President. That was last year. So it would have been your junior year. Yes. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I get that. Right. There, again, that social justice issue. I mean, that was the, what people might not realize is the Graceland Student Government that year were focused very much on the social change model and how to make it work at Graceland. And, so that's good to know that that was your perspective on it. Yeah. And you mentioned DACA students. That was a tough time at that particular moment when students sort of felt pressured, I guess, that they might not be able to stay and not stay at Graceland. So,
yeah, it was, I mean, like, I'll even say I still don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that there were people that were scared and people didn't know what they were going to do. And even if we didn't have a concrete way of saying what this meant to us as those who would not be affected, we still were very much, we will stand by those people that are going to suffer for this.
Yes.
We're going to be there. We're going to do what they need us to do. And that's the thing about the Graceland community, is it's very ready to shift to do that.
So would you say that that's the biggest thing you took away from Graceland's community sort of experience?
I think so. It was most notable.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. What else about Graceland community? I mean, is there anything else you'd like to share about, I mean, that's pretty profound. Don't get me wrong. Again, sort of, not only do you see social justice in your life, but you're identifying sort of that motif here at Graceland too. So
I think the other thing I would say is that it's very socially versatile. There are lots of places for students to be, like to exist wholly as themselves. And so before I started Graceland, I got huge into Dungeons and Dragons. I even have a Dungeons and Dragons tattoo on my arm that I got.
And I even remember
my junior year.
I remember you being involved with Dungeons and Dragons here on campus too. So,
and before I left for Grayson, my grandma said, I love her to death, but she gets a little out there sometimes. My grandma says, you're going to have to stop playing because they're going to kick you out for devil worship. And I was like, you know, if that's the kind of school I'm going to end up, then go ahead. They can kick me out. I'm going to play because I like doing this and it doesn't hurt anybody. I was so ready to fight Graceland on this. And I got here and there were students that were playing D&D. There wasn't like a club, but everyone was like, okay, what you're doing isn't terrible. I mean, you're not hurting anybody. There aren't any Nazis involved. You're good. So it was, there are just these, you find these little pockets of space for students with weird interests to explore those interests in a healthy way. And that's really nice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can see that. Yeah. So if you had to identify one thing about Graceland, whether it's part of the Graceland experience you've talked about, is there one favorite thing about Graceland that you have, or a least favorite, or something? Yeah. Least favorite or most favorite?
I will say, so my favorite was definitely the community. It was, I was always surprised. I was continually surprised by the way the community was ready to evolve and to meet the needs of students and even non-students who were suffering. Graceland was very responsive to the situations, even if all it could do was say, this is what we believe. I think my least favorite was Graceland could go a little hard sometimes, especially during welcome week. And
what do you mean could go hard? I'm not sure.
So I think, given that I didn't go to spec, this is just speculation.
Good play on words then.
Thank you. But I think welcome week was supposed to help emulate the type of vibe that students got at spec. And so those of us that didn't go to spec were not ready for that. And especially if you're a student with anxiety, depression, if you're a particularly introverted person, if you are someone who is not socially savvy, events where you are required to go be in these large groups and be hyped up and excited and yeah, we're not ready for that. We can't do that 3 days after moving in. That's just not enough. We want to go to bed, man. We're so tired from all of that unpacking and meeting new people and there are meetings. It's just, it can be too much sometimes. And I think that was the one thing I did not like about being at Graceland was every year I had to watch freshmen go through that.
Mm-hmm. And would you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
I kind of fall in between.
Okay, that's fair.
I can talk a lot when I get going.
But a lot of times it's in smaller groups and not, least my experience with you has been that way. The reason I ask is what you've just described reminds me of a basic question is where do you get energy from? And it sounds like you pull energy from some of those big things, but also being alone and working and doing things by yourself. Is that true? I mean, would you describe yourself?
Some of my energy, it does come from me. I've had to be very self-sustaining for most of my life. I didn't have social relationships growing up. So there was a long time where I didn't form any of those relationships that could sort of feed my emotional energy. But now, more as an adult, I take some of my energy from the people in my life, the support they give me, the relationships that we have, those also feed my emotional energy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if you're someone like that, you can't get anything out of those big events because you don't have those relationships to help you through it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I understand what you're saying about Welcome Week. And in fact, there's a couple of times during the year that there are lots of activities like that at Graceland. Welcome Week, Homecoming, Final Fling at the end of the year, that kind of, or Spring Fling, forget what it's called,
I think Final Fling is definitely the one I would say is an exception to that, because Final Fling is the students that need it go and the students that don't need it don't feel bad about not going.
I see, because it's
the end of the year, you're taking care of finals, but also a lot of us are just blowing off so much steam.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be the one exception. But Homecoming Week, you're heavily pressured to be involved with your house. If you're a HOKO member and you have a lot of things to work on, you can get in trouble for not being more of a participant, especially in Airband and Noonish games, if you would be available.
Yeah. So you mentioned HOKO. Were you on the house council in Shalom?
Yes, I was an ASK rep my sophomore year.
Okay. So ASK rep, for those who might not know, is the Academic Student Council. So that's pretty impressive to be an ASK rep.
It was definitely underrated. People do not give it enough credit.
Oh, yeah. I suppose because of my own involvement with Grayson Student Government, I've grown to appreciate it. So that's pretty cool, though, because I think for at least a couple of years ago, you had to have a certain grade point average to stay mm-hmm. as an ASK rep. So very good. So is there anything that you would identify as that's how you've changed while at Graceland? How would you describe yourself in terms of growing and changing here while at Graceland?
I have become a lot more, willing to throw my plan out.
Oh, yeah?
So when I started Graceland, my senior year of high school, I got big into psychology. I took AP Psych. I loved it. It was super cool. And then I took a year off for my vision and my mental health. And then I got at Graceland and I was like, all right, get in, do the psychology, get out. I even had a conversation with my friends where they were like, oh, you're going to your church's university. Are you going to like be super religious? And I swear to you, I said, I will never set foot in a religion class. And I'm only going to church because my mom asked me to. And my friends were like, okay, cool. Because they were worried I was going to get into some cult or something.
Yes, sure. Wow. And my, how you've changed. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so as I went through Graceland, I realized, I'm not trying to sound like I'm bragging, but it's going to sound like that. So there's the preface. Psychology was just too easy. It came naturally and I was bored almost instantly.
Ah, wow.
Periodically I'd get into something that would be interesting, but there was no challenge. It was like, I imagine it feels like what a math major feels like doing basic algebra. Like there's nothing there.
Yeah. So,
one of my friends, Bryce Anderson, he suggested I take a Tony and Charmaine class. So that's Tony and Charmaine Chavala Smith.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, they're really weird. They're cool. The class isn't like normally structured. You're going to love it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to handle a religion class. And he goes, well, all the stuff you say about everything else where you're super aggressive, do that in there too. They're going to love it. And so I was like, all right, whatever. I'll take this class. And I fully expected to be bored out of my mind. And I just went with it. And that was when I started really going with the flow, accepting these changes.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing Graceland did for me, was make me open to those changes.
Yeah, that's really good, because that's Graceland's a liberal arts university. And I know sometimes people really don't know what that was. In fact, I did not know what liberal arts universities or colleges were all about until I got here, because I went to a state university. But my gosh, it really is about developing the whole person. And it sounds like that's sort of what happened to you with psychology and then religion on top of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Thinking about the liberal arts thing, this is going to be like total school nerd teacher's pet moment for me, but I got to give a shout out to the critical thinking class, because people do not give that class enough credit. That's the kind of class that should be taught in high schools to demonstrate like an appreciation for what a liberal arts college can bring and the type of ways that you should approach different types of course material, because it was definitely helpful for me. And so that was just something I was thinking about.
Well, that's great to know. So that was your first part of your first year experience, was the critical thinking class. Who was your professor for critical thinking?
Isaac Presnell.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's cool. Very cool. Yeah. So I'm one of the instructors for it too. And I love the class. I recently shared in a bio that it's like, as a campus minister, I would never encounter some of those students except for critical thinking in the arts and sciences, because, you know, it's not a religion class, not part of the campus ministries, but being able to do that really connects me with students that I have just grown to love. I mean, and the topic is so incredible because critical thinking is so important. And, you know, and obviously you've applied this critical thinking to a whole lot of things in your life. You know, like, what's going on with, like, your future? Do you have plans for the future?
My immediate future is I'm going to go, it's like a school for the blind. I'm going to go stay with the Iowa Department for the Blind and spend, like, somewhere between 5 and 9 months, mark, learning how to do things blind, like cooking, building things, using power tools. Why they're letting us do that, I do not know, but I'm ready for it.
That's pretty cool.
So I'm going to spend some time doing that and then continue with seminary. And I think eventually what I would like to do is I'd like to end up teaching religion, because there's a comment a few of my friends have made where they have said the only time they're willing to listen to anything religious is if I explain it, because I use a plethora of swear words and they understand what I'm saying.
that's an interesting twist, Lori. So you skipped over something really quick that you said, and go to seminary. I mean, and that's for me. Okay. Like, you know, that's one of the things people don't know about me. I was in seminary. I just started taking classes because I wanted to be a better pastor. And so technically I was enrolled in the seminary for about 9 years, I don't know, 7 years, something, you know. And that's a whole other story. But so tell me about your seminary experience, because I understand you've already started taking classes in seminary while you were an undergraduate. Is that true?
Yes. I took my first class. It was the Christian theology class. My first semester as a senior, and I took it as a CEU student, which is continuing education unit. Okay. And so the way that it works is I paid a third of my tuition, and we're still a little fuzzy on it because the Graceland Seminary CEU program, they're still kind of working out the kinks on it. But I'm fairly certain it's just sometime before I graduate, I pay off the rest and the credit will count towards my degree. So I have already met the prerequisite that is the intro course. And now I get to jump in on May 4th, this Monday. And I get to just jump right back into my classes. And I'm so excited because this is my jam.
I know that about you, and I so appreciate that. So you're going to go right back into seminary, just like in a few days, what would have been after your graduation and those kinds of things, but after you finish the semester. So that's really cool. So you'll be doing that. Now, most of those classes are online, I know, but there's also twice a year you actually go to a face-to-face class, I think, or something like that.
I don't know if it's specifically twice a year. I think it's class related. I'm still learning all of this, but like this course, we would have had a week long focus session, but because of the virus that canceled,
we
have Zoom sessions at noon.
Yes, of course. Well, and you know, that's a whole nother thing we could talk about is like right now with the pandemic going on, life has changed on top of everything else changing in your life. So you know, I want to talk about theology and seminary a little bit because I just know that you have a brilliant mind. I've had other professors tell me about you and just say how thrilled they are to have you in their class, Tony and Charmaine for two people, but you know, just to say what a brilliant mind you have in terms of being able to not only understand theology, but like you've already expressed, turning around and sharing it with other students and sharing it with people that makes, you know, makes it understandable and relatable. So that's really good. So anything else about seminary? I mean, you want to teach religion eventually?
Yeah, I kind of ended up there. Like that wasn't the plan when I started seminary. I'm actually mostly doing seminary for fun because I really love the topic matter. And so I was like, yeah, let's do seminary. This is going to be super cool. And I really just did it because I thought it was cool.
That's
and I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm going to take all of the classes that I think sound interesting. And there are like three different tracks and you're supposed to pick one, but I think I'm not going to just stick to one because that's just
Going to take all three, huh? That's
Well, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that's great. That's great to explore that and figure that out. So you know, with classes being over, you know, at spring break, basically, Graceland sort of started shutting down. How has the whole pandemic thing affected you? I mean, has it created more of a challenge for you, or?
There were a few things that happened with the pandemic. And the first thing that happened is a little funny and just a little sad. I have these things, I call them bucket lists. I have two bucket lists. There's the before I go blind and the after I go blind, but before I die. And on the before I go blind was to go see one of my favorite comedians live. And so I was going to go see Gabriel Iglesias. Yes. And it got canceled 2 days before the event. And so that's a lighter thing, but it was kind of sad because it was really... I've never crossed anything off of either bucket list.
Yes, right.
But on a more functional note, there is the switch to digital classes has been particularly difficult because looking at a screen for that long when you're light sensitive is very difficult. And so, like one of my classes, we were reading, we were supposed to read this entire textbook, and I had to talk to the professor and triage the chapters and select the most important out of them because I just couldn't, doing the whole book wasn't a possibility. Yeah, that just wasn't something, I couldn't do that.
Was the book digital format too?
Yes, it was digital format. Okay, and so I would have been fine if we were still in physical classes because that would mean that the rest of my workload wasn't digital.
Right, right.
But when my entire undergrad workload became, you have to look at your computer screen this whole time. That's when the problem kicked in because I could maybe do that for one or two classes, but not five.
Yes. Yes. I mean, being a fairly well-sighted person, it's a struggle to be on the screen a lot during the day, you know, just with answering emails, but also having meetings and other situations. So yeah. I can understand that. I also remember you. I mean, I know that you're light sensitive. I mean, I think we sort of redid the campus ministry suite when you joined the team. So we wouldn't use the fluorescent lights in the.
I still think you should keep that set up because a lot of students like that.
Well, so you know the Memorial Student Center has become the Newcomb Student Union, and even though it's not completely open yet. There is, I don't know if I've told you this feature, but one of the new features is the lights in every office, at least the offices I've seen, have dimmer switches. And so I thought of you and they look like they're bright white lights like fluorescence, but you can actually hit it and dim it as far down as you want. And so I thought, wow, this is going to make it, I know you'll come back and visit campus ministries, but if another student comes into our team or something who is light sensitive, I thought, this is brilliant. This is really going to be good. And I thought of you when I didn't know that was going to come into the offices. And so I thought of you when I started playing with the dimmer switch a little bit, because I thought, this would make Lori so happy. So yeah, no, I do appreciate what you've said because I mean, you impacted the campus ministries team in some incredible ways. You know, when you joined the team, I guess your first job was on Safe Ride, wasn't it? Has it been Safe Ride the whole time? Okay.
It was. So. I started at the end of my sophomore year. Yeah, temporarily a Safe Ride coordinator in my sophomore year.
Yeah. So Safe Ride is a program here at Graceland where we provide students on Friday and Saturday nights. Our teams, Lori has been the coordinator, one of the two coordinators for this last year. She coordinated a team of students, student employees, who provided transportation for students. And the service basically was Friday from 10 o'clock at night, Friday and Saturday, rather, from 10 o'clock at night till 3 in the morning. So, yeah, so she got all her student employment hours in on those. Well, not all of them, but a good portion of them. Yeah. So do you have any perspectives on Safe Ride? How was that as a student employment? I mean, I know I always felt like Safe Ride was this interesting campus ministries, you know, because it's part of campus ministries to allow the anonymity for students who use the service. But Did you gain any perspectives from working Safe Ride?
So when I was just a Safe Ride assistant, and all I could do, I couldn't drive the van, obviously.
Yeah.
Graceland does not have that kind of liability insurance. but so, you know, I was just doing companion and dispatch my right. first year and a fifth of being assistant. And it was, when I was doing that, it was interesting to see, interesting and sad to see the gradual decline in use. And oh, yeah. so that was what made me want to be a coordinator, because I realized what Safe Ride is a genuinely valuable service. When you live in Lamoni, you have to be honest with yourself. There's nothing to do past 6 at night. So students drink. Like, what else? There's not a lot to do. People are like, yes, let's drink and play beer pong because ping pong balls can't hurt you. Like, that's what you do. You're not going to get hurt with a ping pong ball. People are going to crowd around a table and do that for like a number of hours. I don't know. And I don't play beer pong. I have no idea. And that's how they have fun. And so you need to cater to that, because your options are, you can choose not to cater to that. You can choose to shame students and make them feel like they're doing something wrong for trying to find something to do. Or you can foster a safe environment. You can say, look, I may not agree with your method of entertainment, but I'm not going to create a space that makes you feel like you have to hide what you're doing, or you can't call us, or like, those are that's you can do that, or you yeah. can choose to make them safe.
Now I do want to clarify just a little bit, those kinds of activities don't happen on campus.
No,
they happen off campus, and that's that's okay. But you make a good point, because some students are going to do those activities, and the whole idea behind Safe Ride is that instead of driving under the influence of anything, or even driving, or even if they feel unsafe in some other way, you know, we provide transportation within a 10-mile radius back to campus and that kind of thing. So, yeah, but yeah. I think that's you know, you did a really good service for Graceland for the last couple of years being involved in that. So it's like. So if I were to ask you, I don't know if this is our final question, but we'll see. If I were to ask you, what gives you hope for the future? How would you answer that?
I think what gives me hope is that people are really pissed off.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that one to me. I didn't see that coming.
So that is, when I'm angry, that's what drives me to do more. When I am angry, I don't shut up. You have heard me. When I'm angry, you never hear the end of it.
Yes, okay, I'll agree.
When other people are angry, they're driven to do something. And what gives me hope is that people are starting to realize that they can use their anger to be constructive, to go towards movements for like climate change, or pay equality for women, or all of this immigration crap. Just nice general blanket term for yeah. everything that's happening there. It's people are starting to use their rage constructively, because they're starting to realize that the more aggressive they are without direction and without restraint, the more the thing they're trying to change is further demonized and further ignored. And so what gives me hope is this constructive rage, because we are angry about so many things that are happening in the world. I couldn't give you a comprehensive list. I really couldn't. But it's not aimless anymore.
That's very good, Lori. Yeah. Yeah. That gives me great hope too. Yeah. So, Lori, I want to thank you for our time together today. You are truly a blessing, have been a blessing to Campus Ministries, a blessing to Community of Christ. And I just wish for you the best as you have graduated and now head out of here, head out of Graceland, and go on your adventure that includes seminary and so many wonderful things. So I count you as a friend and appreciated very much that you were part of the Campus Ministries team here at Graceland. So thank you.
Campus Ministries was one of my favorite parts of being at Graceland. It was a good community. So I also want to thank you for that, because you really did help build a good community there.
Thank you. Thanks. Until next time, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.